This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 383. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross, and with me, as usual, is my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Should we call this one our first show of the regular season, because we're after the Tokyo series, or last show of the preseason, or the spring training, I should say, because we're still in spring training? I don't know. It's kind of a weird time.
I honestly hate the structure. It's like, hey, let's go play in Japan and come back home and play more spring training games. Like, I don't know. I just don't love that. Yeah, it is what it is. It was great. The viewership was really good, So you can't complain about that. But, yeah, you know, it's still, I guess, the off season per se, but it's upon us. It's here.
It's weird when you have regular season and spring training games going on the same day. But, and I love the concept in general. I mean, I love that they're doing this, but they got to rework that schedule just a little bit. I don't know how. I don't have an answer off the top of my head, but it's just kind of weird. But anyway, well, we got some good names to talk about today. Got a little bit of a, you know, two different discussion points, I should say. Today, we'll talk some interesting younger names that have had some good spring training performances, and also a spring breakout recap, because Chris was down there for several days last week. So talk some players that stood out to him. So good little mix of stuff here. But before we get into all of that, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at Chris Clegg, MILB. I am at Eric Ross, MLB. Show is at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy the pod, please rate and review. Make sure you check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydugout.com and toolshedfantasy.com, for more work from each of us. And make sure you check out all the great content available with Rotoballer's MLB Premium Pass. Rotoballer's VIP Draft Kit comes with exclusive rankings and ATC projections from Nick Mariano and Ariel Cohen. It also includes plenty of content from Chris and I. Sync your leagues with TeamSync to use our live draft assistant and get customized expert advice for your league's specific settings. Our premium pass comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Go to rotoballer.com/radio and use that discount code TOOLSHED for 10% off at checkout. All right, let's start in New York here with Stanton out for who knows how long, probably a long time from the sounds of it. Ben Rice might get some run here at that DH spot, and maybe a little bit at first base, you know, a little bit at catcher, maybe a little bit of all three, but primarily DH, it looks like. And he's had a pretty good spring, slashing .278, .350, .593, with 5 home runs in 17 games. I mean, he's 26 now. He's turned 26 last month. Had a kind of up and down last couple of years, but had a big breakout 2 years ago in the minor leagues. You know, I think there was, what, 2022, I believe that was. No, 2023, when he hit 324, 434, 615 with 20 home runs, 18 doubles, and 11 steals in just 73 games. And last year in the minor leagues was good as well, but really struggled at the major league level. Hit 171, 264, 349 in 50 games with the Yankees last season. Where are you at right now on Ben Rice, Chris? I mean, obviously, major league time didn't go so well after, I think he had like a hot start to his career with the Yankees, but then really struggled. Did that kind of, you know, put you off of Ben Rice, or are you still looking to target him in dynasty leagues right now?
No, I think he's a good buy. He's certainly looked better this spring from the standpoint of hitting the ball much harder, which is great to see. You know, the results we kind of take in spring training with a grain of salt, but he has definitely shown some things that has me buying in. I mean, he has looked incredible, I think. And, you know, you look and this year he has put up exit velocities north of 111 six times already. And in 2024, his hardest hit ball was 110.8. So eclipsing your max EV six times in spring kind of speaks a lot of volume. And do I think he's going to be a massive power bat? Yeah, maybe he's not like a 30 home run bat, but I do think that Ben Rice is going to be in for a really good year. I think the OBP skills are there.
Yep.
With Ben Rice, I'm not scared away by what he showed us in his debut because, frankly, like most people struggle. And this is the Bronx we're talking about, like a hard place to, you know, play with the criticism from the New York media. And I just look at Ben Rice. I think there's enough contact. I think the approach is good enough and the power's there. So, yeah, he's going to find a way into this lineup. The bat's good. And, yeah, I'm in on him for sure.
Yeah, and even last year with the Yankees when he was struggling on the surface, he still had an 85% in zone and 77% overall contact rates, which are both still solid. 11% walk rate. You know, he's always walked at a very high clip. The lowest he's walked at any level was 9.5%. Every other level is 11+%. K rate usually kept in check outside of his 27% K rate last year. But he had a 186 BABIP last year, so yeah, that definitely played a bit into his struggles and still had a 15.5% barrel rate and a 37% hard hit rate. So still had some good metrics under the hood, even though that surface slash line did not look so good. But yeah, he's got a shot. Yeah, I liked Rice when I saw him come through Double A, you know, later part of 2023. And then he started there in 2024 for first couple months of the season. So I probably saw him 5-6 times or so in that time frame, and I was really impressed with the bat and just the way he controlled his bat. So, yeah, I'm definitely still fairly in on Rice. I think he's a sneaky good dynasty target right now as we enter the season here. Zach Veen, another one that's had a pretty good spring. You know, with Veen, you know, I was actually just writing him up a little bit for an article on my Patreon, and he's always shown intriguing, you know, skills and his had the performance for the most part, but he's combined for 111 games the last 2 years, 46 in 2023, 65 last year. Last year he was pretty good, 11 home runs, 10 doubles, 21 steals. You know, contact rate was, I think, was around 73%. He's been running wild in the minor leagues, you know, pretty efficient as well. He was only caught four times in 25 attempts last year. In 2023, he was 22 out of 24, and in 2022, 55 out of 64. So he's been very efficient in stealing bags and still has that raw power upside. I'm intrigued. I'm still definitely intrigued. He did strike out a little bit too much this spring, 19 strikeouts in 64 plate appearances, but had 7 extra base hits, 2 home runs, and stole 9 bags, 298, 375, 509 slash. Darties get, you know, an opening day spot with the Rockies, but and especially with them trading away Nolan Jones back to Cleveland, but he'll start in AAA. But definitely still intrigued here by Veen. I think he's another decent, you know, buy right now in dynasty leagues as well. What are your thoughts on Veen, Chris?
Yeah, you know, I think Veen, he is a great ball player. I think we've known that, and it's been a lot of ups and downs throughout Zach Veen's career. It's at the end of the day, I mean, for him, I think it's all about just staying healthy and just staying consistent. Yeah, I think that if he gets the reps, he's going to be fine. I just want to see him consistently play. We haven't seen that since 2022. You know, last year it was just 270 plate appearances in the minors, and in 2023 it was just 201. So some kind of concerning marks. But even last year, like, the results were good. The underlying data looked pretty good as well for Veen. So, you know, I think that give me a good couple of months in AAA and I wouldn't be shocked to see him up. He's 23. It's not like we're looking at someone that, you know, is super young anymore. Forget he was drafted back in 2020. At this point, I'm almost certain. I do think, is he on the 40-man roster?
I believe he is.
I thought so. I thought they had to add him this offseason. So that would make sense. I mean, if he's already there, yeah, he's on the 40. Like, that helps his case. So, you know, I think that he'll be interesting to follow this year, because I think that most people had written him off, including myself. But if there's consistency in a lot of areas of his game and he stays in the field, then I might be buying back in, because I think the talent is there. There's tools there for sure. It's all about just making enough contact for him and staying healthy. So, yeah, I do like Zach Veen.
Yeah, I think the opportunity absolutely could be there as well, because it looks like they're going to roll with, you know, in the corners, you know, Jordan Beck, who I still think could be something, but he's definitely unproven. And then Nick Martini, perhaps, maybe a little Sean Bouchard, a little Sam Hilliard. Like, none of these names are, like, you know, huge, you know, blocks for Zach Veen. So I think he definitely could get a shot here early in the season, for sure. Let's keep it right in the National League West. Go over to the San Francisco Giants with Luis Matos, who was one of the hits leaders so far in spring training. I think he was up like fifth or sixth in hits. Has 19 hits in 23 games, 63 plate appearances. So that's a 317, 349, 450 slash line. Has a pair of home runs and steals as well. You know, Chris, the contact skills have never been an issue for Matos. I mean, zone contact rates like well over 90%. Overall contact rates have been kind of steady in like that 85 to 87% range. He's aggressive, but puts the bat on the ball, doesn't walk much. Obviously, has the contact skills to back it up, but is the power going to be there? I mean, it's nice to see him hit a couple home runs, you know, this spring, but hasn't really shown, you know, a ton of power, especially at the major league level. Do you see him ever getting the power enough to be, you know, more than just a deep league option moving forward?
I hope so. I do like the talent with Luis Matos. It looks like right now he might be on the weak side of platoon with Mike Yastrzemski, who is fine, but, you know, I mean, there's not much to love about that profile at this point. So I think it depends on how Matos swings it. He could find himself in a role sooner than later. Now, the interesting thing and the other X factor will be, you know, Young-Hoo Lee, who is dealt with some injuries. Yeah, I think he's back and ready to go. He's resumed baseball activities. So I'll be curious to see, like, with him, you know, does that kind of factor in? And if he is if he has any setbacks, I guess, will it help Matos find his way into the lineup? He hasn't played since March 13th, but is said to be okay despite the back issues. But I kind of wonder if a back issue could linger with Lee and that create an opportunity for Luis Matos. But Matos, I think the upside is there. We know the foundation is there with the contact skills. He literally just turned 23 years old, so he's still quite young, much like Zach Veen. So I think people wrote off Matos as well because he debuted in the majors back in 2023 and has had some bumps in the road with his major league production. But I also think there's sneaky pop in the profile too for Luis Matos, and he'll steal you a few bags as well. So, yeah, I think it's an interesting play. I'm not out on him by any means, and I'm pretty curious to see, like, you know, how does the situation shake out and how does he find his reps?
Yeah, I like both him and Jung-Hoo Lee. I was kind of targeting Lee this year. Obviously, the back injury is a little bit of a deterrent, but, you know, like, you know, obviously the contact skills are there for him, and he had a little bit of pop too. Could be similar type of overall values long term between these two guys. So, you know, won't be studs, won't be high impact players, but, And they could be guys that hit you a good average, give you like 10 to 15 home runs, something like that, a little bit of speed as well. More so for Matos than Lee. But, yeah, I think Matos is a sneaky good buy right now too. Next guy here was a top 10 prospect by some, and me included. I think he peaked at 8 or 9 on my rankings. He definitely got top 10 at one point. I forget the exactly highest part. But Robert Hassel III has really struggled over the last few seasons, specifically since he came over from San Diego to Washington back in 2022. It was like really the downturn started then, because he was hitting .299 in Fort Wayne in the San Diego system. And that trade happened, only hit .211 the rest of the year. That was in just 10 games. But then 2023, .221, .324, .321 slash, 2024 was at .241, .319, .328 slash. But hit .370, .408, .544 this spring. 5 doubles and a home run in 49 plate appearances. Though he will start the year in AAA Rochester. Any intrigue from you here, Chris? I know it's been, again, rough couple of years from Hassel, but would you encourage at all about what you saw from him this spring?
Honestly, not, because every time I've seen him in the AFL, it's just not been good. Like, I think that it's kind of one of those things where he kind of sucks people back in, and it's just more of the same. I look at the underlying data with Hassel from the spring, and I don't see anything that, like, excites me. And so that's a little bit discouraging too. Like, there's zero power to speak of. I don't know if he's more than like a 8 to 10 home run bat over a full season, which is a little bit of a concern. The contact numbers are fine, but at the end of the day, like, he's not hitting the ball hard enough in the sweet spot hard enough to make anything a barrel, which is also a bit concerning too. Like, the ground ball rates are bad and the launch angles are pretty inconsistent. I don't know. I think that people just like jump and overreact when they're like, oh, former top prospect that's, you know, decent in spring training. But, like, honestly, I just don't care enough about the spring training numbers to buy in here.
Yep.
I'm not in on him. Just, I mean, 3 years in the AFL, we've seen him. And honestly, like, he just doesn't look like somebody that I want to invest in. I don't think he's a decent fantasy asset at all. Like, it's a below average field of hit, in my opinion, below average power. There's some speed, but again, like, I'm not sure how much that matters with the rest of the skill set here. So I'm not in on Robert Hassel, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm really not either. And it stinks, because I used to be really in on him back, you know, early part of his minor league days after the draft. But yeah, he's fallen way down my rankings over the last couple of years. And, you know, I think he could be like a fourth outfielder, maybe, and maybe like a super deep league target. That's like best case scenario, I think, because, you know, well, maybe he could hit .250 or something like that. Maybe he could give you 15 to 20 steals over a full season. Like you mentioned, the power hasn't really been there. The impact hasn't been there in a bit now. It's not like a recent issue either. It's been a bit since we've seen him really impact the ball consistently. And, you know, contact skills, again, are fine, but yeah, I don't think they're good enough to kind of become a decent bat given the low, below average impact he has. So, yeah, I'm not, I mean, it's nice to see him, you know, hit well this spring, but I'm not super intrigued here moving forward. This next guy, though, I definitely have at least a little bit of intrigue in, just because, you know, given how well he hit in the minor leagues, you know, a few years ago, but been a rough last couple of years for Curtis Meade of the Tampa Bay Rays. He did cool off near the end of spring training, because at one point he was like 17 for 21 or something, like, insane. He was hitting like .850 through the first like 6 games or something like that, but still hit .538 this spring, .617 OBP, .641 slug, more walks than strikeouts, 6-5. Not really, you know, more than, you know, not really a lot of extra base hits, only 1 double and 1 home run, but, you know, definitely really encouraging to see Meade hitting well after 2 pretty lackluster showings with Tampa Bay in 2023 and 2024. So I'm not kind of sure what role he'll have on this team here. The Rays have a lot of options, and we know they like to kind of mix and match, platoon here and there. So I'm not sure where Meade will fit in, and he's not really a guy that has like one set defensive position either, but Definitely looks really good this spring, Chris. And I think Meade's, I mean, I wouldn't be rushing out to get Meade. And I think I like, you know, guys like Matos and Rice more as buys right now. But I'm definitely encouraged by what I saw from Meade this spring.
Yeah, I think so. I think Meade's biggest struggle is going to be, can he find the consistent playing time that he needs to in Tampa, which not going to be easy to do. I do like the skill set. I'll say I've long liked the skill set of Curtis Meade. And I think people jumped off last year pretty severely, even though the underlying was still pretty good. Like, you looked and everything looked good under the hood last year for Meade. So it's kind of interesting to look at and see. He is hitting the ball hard all spring, which is good. The launch angles are still a bit of a concern. Lots of ground balls, low launch. But I do think that there are some things to like here. The approach looks better. That was a struggle in his pro debut, was kind of the approach and swing decisions. But contact rates have been really good all spring. That's encouraging. Topped out at 111, average EV north of 90 miles an hour. No shock. Like, Meade's hit the ball hard before, so I'm not shocked there. But I do think that if he gets the playing time that he needs, then Curtis Meade's pretty intriguing. You know, just given the skill set, problem is his defense. He just doesn't have a defensive home, honestly. Could he go to second? Yeah. First base, it's crowded. I mean, you've got Yandy Diaz, you've got Jonathan Aranda, who's going to DH, that can also play there. But I think that the path for Curtis Meade could be, you know, reps at second some, reps at DH some. I mean, Brandon Lau's not been able to stay healthy his entire career.
Yeah, no.
Which, you know, that's an issue of itself. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of split on will he find the reps. I hope so, because I do believe in the bat, but I think that's easier said than done on this team.
Yeah, it's like he might platoon at DH with Aranda. Yeah, I can see some second base, but yeah, hopefully if he can just get in there, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 times a week, which I don't think is asking too much, then you could have some sneaky good value this year for sure. I like Aranda as a buy right now, and Meade as well. I think there's a couple good buys on that Tampa Bay team offensively. Going out back out west with Jacob Wilson of the Athletics. Yeah, hitting some home runs this spring. I mean, I'll very much admit that I did not think I'd ever see Wilson hit 4 home runs in a spring training, but he did 4 home runs in 50 plate appearances, 306, 320, 571 slash line. I mean, I think that's the big question, is like, can he add any value outside of, you know, a high average? He's, you know, elite contact. I mean, contact rates, I mean, we're talking like elite of the elite here. You know, last year he had a 93% contact rate. Triple A, it was a 99.2% zone contact, 95.8% overall contact. You know, swing and strike rate like 2-3%. And even in the majors, even though the, you know, overall slash line wasn't great, he still had a zone of 93.5%, overall around 88%. But how much power does he provide? I mean, it's nice to see him at 4 home runs this spring. But, you know, Chris, do you ever see, I guess I'll ask this, do you ever see Wilson reaching 10 home runs or 10 steals on a consistent basis in the season?
Maybe. I think he can get to 10 homers. It's not going to be from EVs, I'll tell you that. I know that, yeah, he's had 4 home runs and 50 plate appearances this spring. We're also talking about Arizona, where the ball flies quite far. The ball moves, or the pitch moves so differently that it's easy to hit. I mean, I think Jacob Wilson's a good player. I think he's a good hitter, very solid contact skills. The approach is not good. Like, he's very chase happy. And the power, I'm not sure, is there either. He's topped out at 105 this spring, which it's fine. But we knew the contact skills would be there. They certainly have. They've looked great all spring. The zone swing looks good. The chase is still a little higher than I'd like to see. Low hard hit rate, 14% so far. I guess so far the spring's pretty much over at this point. But I don't know. I want to believe that there's 10 home run pop based on his ability to hit the ball, to pull it and hit the ball at ideal angles. But again, like, even on his fly balls, we're looking at average EV on fly balls of 89, which is not great. He does pull a lot of fly balls, which helps. So I wouldn't rule it out. I think that playing in Sacramento helps. Like, you're going to be in that park this year. That should help you. I'd put the over-under at like 8 this year. So 10's a realistic outcome. He's not going to steal bases. I think he's going to steal 2 bases, if we're honest, but could come with a really good average. So if you like Luis Arraez, like, I think Jacob Wilson can be that similar type of player with potentially a little bit more like home run output. So, like, depending on how you value, I mean, Arraez had the 10 home run season in 2023, and 2024, he had 4 home runs. So is Wilson going to hit 354 like Arraez did in 2023? I don't know. So that's a question that needs to be answered. I do think the profiles are very, very similar, though.
Yeah, maybe a few more home runs for Wilson, a few more steals for Arraez. But, you know, when you combine those two numbers, it's going to be like 12 to 15 total. So, yeah, I was about to say, if he can be like 80 to 90% of Arraez, then, you know, maybe that's like a top 275 to 300 player or something like that. Just, I don't really see him rising up to be even be like a top 200 player. I mean, even Arraez has been kind of like in that top 200-ish range. So I guess that's like best case scenario outcome there for Jacob Wilson. But, you know, definitely will give you an average boost. That's for sure. All right, I think that was the last hitter on our list here. We got 3 more pitchers before we get over to some spring breakout recap. We'll start with Jack Leiter. Now, he's been looking pretty good this spring. 3.48 ERA in 20.2 innings. He's been hitting 100 pretty consistently this spring, but also has a 155 whip this spring. You know, still, you know, at least to me, I mean, it's like, you know, he's hitting 100. That's great. Now, he's striking out some guys, you know, not a super high clip, but he's got a K rate on like 24% right now this spring. You know, decent to see that, but still has 10 walks and has always had, you know, that walk issue. Command has never been consistent with him. Strike throwing has never been consistent. I mean, sure, the stuff can look really good at times, especially when he's hitting triple digits on the radar gun, but I'm still very, I'm not like, I've never been fully out on Leiter, but I've been fading hard, and I'm not turning that around anytime soon until I see some improvements, you know, in, you know, strike throwing and just commanding his arsenal in general. But I don't know. Do you have a more intrigue and more hope for him than I do, Chris?
I honestly don't. Like, I know it's been easy to like be super excited about what Jack Leiter's done this spring, but I still think there's a lot of inconsistencies with command, and I think that's going to be the issue that probably leads him into the bullpen long term, is just the command's a major red flag. I mean, he's still walking 11.5% of batters this spring, which is not great. So high walk rate, he's only struck out 24% of hitters faced. So that's a bit of an issue. First pitch strike rate's not great. Swinging strike rate has been good, but again, like, I want to look at the quality of pitching that he's faced. Ultimately, I don't know. I mean, his opponent quality on Baseball Reference is 7.5, which is between AA and AAA. So again, it's like, you're not facing great opponents, and that's a little bit concerning in my opinion. I don't think there's any denying Jack Leiter's ability to pitch and be a good arm. Like, the stuff's good, but I'm just not sure the command's there, and I don't think the bat missing ability is there like we hope that it would be at one point in his career. The thing to watch will be homers. That's been something that we've seen much improved from, and again, we're talking a 20-inning sample, but homers have plagued him, and he's done a pretty good job keeping the ball in the park, which pitching in Arizona for spring training, that's not easy to do. So I do look there and say, okay, like, is there something tangible that's changed here? I think it's too early to say, but I am at least watching. I will say, like, his xFIP this spring's 5.22, so that kind of paints another picture from his 3.48 ERA. So I'm not the biggest Jack Leiter fan. Don't think that I'm all that in on him.
Yeah, he's never had a walk rate below 10%. I mean, actually, funny enough, he actually had, it was a tick below 10% in the majors last season, but, you know, minor leagues, well over 10% every year. Even his 2 years of Vandy, you know, when he was one of the best pitchers in the nation. It was over 10% both of those years as well. So it's been an issue for him for, you know, this is about a half decade of this issue. It's not a recent issue, not a small sample size. This is a very large sample size of a notable issue. So yeah, I'm not interested in Jack Leiter. Next guy up, Cade Povich of the Baltimore Orioles, having a pretty good spring, 3.07 ERA in 14 and two-thirds innings, 15 strikeouts to just 4 walks. And kind of a similar issue with Povich in the minor leagues, where he was walking too many guys. I mean, 2023, 66 walks in 126 and two-thirds innings. 2024, it came down a good bit last year, 27 in 77 and two-thirds innings, and then 34 in 79 and two-thirds innings with Baltimore, but the ERA was 5.20, WHIP 1.43 with Baltimore, and the K rate went down, which it went down to a very kind of lackluster, right around 20% level after being pretty high in the minor leagues. So where are you at on Povich now? Do you think he can get back to that bat-missing ability? You think he can keep that walk rate in check? What do you think we're looking at here from Povich moving forward?
Yeah, I'm certainly intrigued. I think that, you know, he can, as long as he lives under 10%, he's going to be fine. And I think last year he showed the ability to do that. I mean, AAA, the average walk rate was like 12%. And they're pitching the ABS. It's very high. And he walked 8.5% in AAA last year, which I think is worth noting. The command control has taken jumps from 2022 to 2023, and then from 2023 to 2024, I think there was another notable jump here. So that's something I'm watching pretty closely too, and to see, like, is this stick in a 2025 legit? Because he's, like you mentioned, he's walked under 7% of batters he's faced so far. That's been encouraging to see. Stuff looks really good for Povich. They definitely need that lefty presence in that rotation. I think he holds the job. I would not be shocked if he held the job all year. And I think there's a lot of value to be had. Probably gives you an ERA close to 4, but I do think the strikeouts could be there. And if he keeps the walks in check, then the WHIP's probably going to be pretty solid as well. So yeah, I think Cade Povich is a pretty fun arm at this point to potentially invest in. Stuff's not overwhelming, but it's pretty good across the board. Pretty deep repertoire. He's got, I mean, picturesque Max Fried delivery, looks just like him. And I think there's some deception as well for, like, him as a left-handed arm, where he's just going to kind of play up beyond what some metrics kind of say. So, you know, I think that he's a good arm, and I think he's worth investing in my opinion. Much more than Leiter, I'd say, at this point.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would 100% go after Povich. I've never been, like, big Povich guy. I've always, you know, liked him okay. Never, I wouldn't say I was down on Povich either. He's kind of like middle of the road for me in my prospect rankings over the years. But, you know, I think that bat missing ability can come back. I mean, I believe in what we saw from him in terms of bat missing in the minor leagues. So, yeah, I think there's definitely some intrigue there. And he's going to get some plenty of run because they need somebody in that Baltimore rotation. It's, you know, after Eflin, so, you know, G-Rod's Hurts, and you got a bunch of, like, fours and fives, like Sagano and Morton, and they just signed, Kyle Gibson's back there now, so they definitely could use, Povich taking a step forward this year, so I'm sure they'll give him plenty of run. Last name here, we get Richard Fitz of the Boston Red Sox, who will be in their rotation to start the year, given the injuries that Boston has dealt with. In 14 and two-thirds innings this spring, had a 2.45 ERA, 14 strikeouts to 6 walks, allowed 1 home run. You know, Fitz is a guy I saw in the minor leagues, and I mean, he pitched really well in the time I saw him. You know, I'm not, you know, projecting him to be an impact arm, but I think there could be some solid, like, you know, back end value here because, you know, he has a really strong frame. Like, he looks like a guy that's just gonna pitch a ton of innings. You know, maybe it's not the greatest ratios. Maybe he's more like a 4.5 ERA guy. Not going to have that super high K rate because he doesn't have like that one pitch he can really go to miss bats. You know, those sweeper, slider, splitter or his off speeds. You know, fastball is around 94, 95 miles an hour. But he can just fill the zone. You know, doesn't walk many guys at all. I just don't know if the K rate's going to be there. So, I don't know. I think he's a guy that I'd be okay, like, you know, deeper formats, just to you know, have some depth on your team, maybe a spot start here and there. I'm just not sure he's ever a guy that you're looking at as, you know, like a season-long guy that you're going to be starting, you know, pretty frequently in your lineups. But what are your thoughts on Fitz, Chris?
Yeah, he's just continued to evolve his arsenal, which I think is the most notable, and the fastball velocity's up even more this spring. So that is worth noting, too. It's, I think, a pretty good pitch. It averaged 96.5 this spring, touched 99. Does it hold there longer stints? Kind of to be determined, right. But I think that's been encouraging because he has had two straight years of kind of a velocity uptick. Red Sox pitch devs elite. They may have the best pitching development in the game at this point. Kind of trust him with that. It's a pretty solid vertical approach angle from his release height. So you like to see that. He creates a good ride on the four seam. And he has all, I mean, his secondaries are deep enough for him to miss plenty of bats, I would say. Starting with the two different slider variations, throwing the more gyro-shaped slider, and he has a longer sweeper that's like 15 inches of horizontal versus like 3 on the more gyro-shaped slider. Splitter, pretty nasty pitch at 90 miles an hour. I think that could be a weapon in his arsenal too. And ultimately, like, I think it's just his sequencing that's been so much better this spring. Like, you look at how he sequenced his pitches, how he's utilized them, and it's been a major improvement from what we've seen in the past. I think the curveball will miss bats. I think that Fitz is a really sneaky arm that I'm trying to invest in a lot of places because I think that he's got the starter's frame. He can be a workhorse innings type. He's got the arsenal, and I think the bat missing ability is there. I trust what the Red Sox have done with him, and I'm buying in.
Yeah, I think he's definitely got some intrigue for sure. So let's see what he can do with, you know, some extended innings here. We'll see if he sticks in the rotation when everyone's healthy. That's kind of the question mark here. But I think if he's pitching well, he's going to make it a difficult decision for the Red Sox. So we'll see how that goes. All right, moving over to spring breakout here, which was about a week, you know, wrapped up about a week ago here. It was last Thursday through Sunday, I believe it was, like the, what would that been, like the 19th through the, or 20th through the 23rd or something like that, whatever it was. But Chris was down there. I unfortunately was not able to go this year due to some non-baseball obligations up here in Maine. But Chris was there for every day. Got, you know, 5 of these spring breakout games, if I recall correctly. So we'll go over some players that he saw, some guys that he liked. We'll start with Chandler Simpson, who as everyone knows, is really, really fast. And I think you clocked him at some ridiculous, I forget what it was, but some ridiculous home the first time. So, but outside of, I mean, obviously we know he can steal bags, but is this, you know, a Juan Pierre profile, do you think? I mean, contact sales are really good too, but obviously not a lot of impact there. So, you know, should fantasy managers be excited about a guy like Chandler Simpson, Chris?
I think so. I mean, what makes Simpson different than some of these speed only guys? Like, that's, I think the major question is like, is it actually different? And I think we've seen this profile, like Estre Ruiz fail. Plenty of guys have struggled to make it work. So my biggest qualm with Chandler Simpson pre-seeing him this spring was the defense. He had speed. He had some of the best contact skills in the minors last year, but I didn't think the defense was very good. And I saw Simpson a decent bit last year when he was with Bowling Green. And I didn't feel like that he was where he needed to be. And everybody's saying, oh, he's going to be the race center fielder, blah, blah, blah. And I thought that that's been the biggest thing is that he's played good defense. He looks the part. Yeah, I mean, he's absurd speed. I got him 3.50 in the regular season. Get him 3.58 on a bunt home to first. Like, that's like 100 grade on the 2080 scale. Like, I need to look up what exactly the scouting scale is for sprint speed, but it's like 80 is definitely much higher than that. It shows you how fast he is. Like, I got Enrique Bradfield on a jailbreak bunt that was like 3.79. So Enrique Bradfield can fly too, and that shows you how fast Simpson is. Yeah, so 80 grade for a left-handed hitter is 3.9, and Simpson was sub 3.6. So,
oh my word!
Yeah, yeah, he's the fastest baseball player I've ever seen, and I don't think that's an exaggeration. Like, he runs so well, he's going to steal bases consistently. I think You can build a fantasy team that works with Chandler Simpson if you have enough power everywhere else. I think the contact skills are like otherworldly good, and he may be slappy, but he did hit a couple balls hard that I've seen him this past week, some smoked line drives, and like he's putting his effort into it, no doubt about that. But still, it's I think it's pretty impressive what he can do. And I'm much higher on him now, I'll say. Like, I was definitely had my concerns, no doubt about that. And the ranking reflected that. I'm around like 200 overall. I think he's a top 100 prospect with improved defense. I really do believe that. So, and that's hard to do without any power. So,
yeah.
Kudos to Simpson for kind of evolving his game and showing some improvements in the field, because that's huge.
Yeah, and we're talking about a 90% contact rate in 2023, 4% swing and strike rate, 93% last year with a 3% swing and strike rate, and 7.6 million steals to go along with it. So, yeah, maybe he's, you know, he's probably Juan Pierre in the power department. I mean, he has one home run in his professional career. That was last year in AA. Still not fully sure if that ball cleared. Do we know, Chris, I think we might have talked about this before. Did that ball clear the fence, or was that inside the park home run? Do you remember?
Inside the park in AA.
Yeah, okay.
And his only out of the – in college, he had an out of the fence that bounced off the glove of a fielder.
So none of them, like, no true over the fence home runs yet, but
yeah.
But hey, he had, let's see, was it 2023, 94 steals, and 2024, he had 104 steals, more walks and strikeouts. So yeah, he could be a guy that's just like really good in three categories, you know, runs, average, and steals, you know, one of those being a league winning upside, and then just basically a zero in home runs and RBI. But yeah, you can definitely build your team around that for sure. Yeah, he's a fun one. I think I took him in the FPAS rookie draft this year just because I thought he'd be up and steal a ton of bags. And one of my bold predictions on Rotobar a few days ago was that he leads the American League in steals. I couldn't go major league because, you know, some guy named Ellie De La Cruz exists. But would it surprise you if he came up early and stole like 55 bags this year or something like that? I mean,
I don't think so.
It was a bold prediction for a reason, but I could totally. Yeah. I mean, all of my predictions are like they're bold for a reason, but I have like a, you know, 5-ish% probability of them happening, and I could definitely see that with Simpson for sure. Next two guys here, bit different profiles than Chandler Simpson, though. Who has a Simpson profile outside of Chandler Simpson? But, you know, Bryce Rainer and George Lombard, two guys that really stood out to you, Chris. You know, both have, you know, pretty good power upside and could really rise up rankings this year. So, talk about what you saw with both Bryce Rainer and George Lombard, and where do you see these guys rising to in prospect rankings this season?
Yeah, I mean, Lombard's completely transformed everything. I saw him last year when I went to the Florida State League in July, and I didn't think Lombard was bad. I thought he's a good prospect. I thought he had been a little bit overhyped by some, but he came in this spring. He's in better shape. He's stronger. He's faster. The bat speed's evidently better. Like, I went back and like watched my open side videos from last year, this year, and the bat speed's substantially better. Swing path looks significantly better. Like, Lombard just looks like a complete dude at this point. And he plays a good shortstop. Like, I think he's got a good approach. The power's obviously there. I think he's going to hit the ball plenty hard to get to power. I mean, he's like 6'3". It's like a really, really good frame. And I don't know, like I walked away and I said, yeah, Lombard is just a completely different player than he was. And I think now, like, you know, I don't have him ranked that high, but like I looked at him and said, how different is he than a Marcelo Meyer? I mean, honestly, I look at that profile and think that it could be something that works and be a very, very good player for a long time. So I'm very much in on Lombard at this point. I'm trying to figure out where he'll slot in my rankings. I'm set to release those tomorrow, and I still haven't finalized. I'm at 39 right now, which is a major jump for him. But I don't buy a lot of things in the spring, but I'll buy a complete change in your body. I'll buy increased bat speed. I'll buy a swing change that works. And like it looks drastically better. And so I fully think a breakout's in order for George Lombard Jr. So I'm all aboard that train. And Bryce Rainer looks like a superstar. I mean, that was the first time I got my eyes on him. I saw him and Griffin both multiple times, and Rainer just looks like a dude. I mean, he popped one 114 in the spring breakout game, and he's continued to hit all spring on the backfields. He's got an impressive body. He moves better than kind of the reports had stated that he did. I thought the swing looked good, like in the box, like it's Christian Yelich-esque, like it looks just like Christian Yelich, and swing path's good. I think the contact skills are going to be there. I mean, he faced some pretty solid Braves pitching. I mean, he faced J.R. Richie, who pitched well overall,
yeah,
I thought, and he had subbed out by the time Didier Fuentes came in the game, but the Braves also threw like Garrett Bauman, who is a decent arm. He wasn't on in that game, but he was hitting 99, so like it wasn't like a nothing burger like out there. I don't know. I just thought Rainer just checked every box I want to see. He looked good at shortstop. Like, I'm very much in on him, and I've got him inside my top 20 at this point. Like, I liked Rainer a lot, and I don't know. I walked away and was like, I think this guy is like a pretty Studley type bat for, I know he's an older prep guy from last year, but don't really care. I think he can move quickly, and was very impressed with Lombard and Rainer. Like, I walked away and thought that those were two of the more impressive players I saw in 14 some games between the backfield and spring breakout. So very, very impressive stuff from both.
Yeah, and you think he's definitely going to stick at shortstop. I saw some concerns that he might have to, you know, move over to third or something like that, but you think he sticks at shortstop long term?
I mean, it's hard to say with a 19-year-old. I thought that the actions looked fine. I wasn't overly worried about that. He could fill out. Like, he's definitely got room to add weight.
Yep.
And if he adds the weight and slows down, it's possible. I wouldn't be overly worried about that. I thought it was telling that the Tigers played him at short and McGonagall at third during the spring breakout game. Like, that's kind of what I took away, was like, And McGonagall looked good at third, so that wasn't a knock on him at all. But, you know, I think that they want to develop Rainer as kind of their shortstop of the future. And, you know, indications right now, I think he can stick, but we'll see. I mean, a lot could change with his body over the next couple of years. But for now, I do think he's a shortstop.
And he definitely would have the arm to move over to third if he needs to. So,
yeah.
And, you know, George Lombard, I mean, I forget which team they were in trade talks with, but I remember the Yankees just like not wanting to include, you know, both Spencer Jones and George Lombard.
I think that was Crochet.
That was Crochet. But which is very telling, because obviously you're talking about Garrett Crochet here, a guy that the Red Sox gave up, you know, Kyle Teal, Brandon Montgomery, and Chase Meidroth for. And the Yankees didn't want to give up Jones and Lombard, so that shows how high the Yankees are internally on George Lombard. And, yeah, he's definitely a guy that's been rising up rankings here. And I don't know, I'm quite as high as you, but I've definitely been moving him up as well. And Rainer's a guy I like to love in that draft, too. I mean, not going to be like a big speed guy, but it's a really, really good bat, like maybe a Corey Seager. You know, maybe Seager's too much of a, you know, I'm not comping it, but just like one of like those big bodied shortstops that don't provide a lot of speed but can, you know, stand out and, you know, with the bat, both with average and with power. So yeah, Rainer's a guy I liked a lot. That Detroit system is really, really good, especially on the hitting side. They got a lot of good bats in that system. So like I've said, Detroit's cooking something. They really are. I think they're gonna be a pretty good team here for the foreseeable future with all these, especially when Rainer gets up there, Max Clark, McGonagall. Obviously, you got Jackson Jobe hitting that rotation full-time this year now. So, yeah, I like Detroit. I think they're going to be really good here. All right. We'll end it on a couple more names here. We'll go one hitter and one pitcher that really impressed you, Chris, that might not be a household name yet. We'll start on the hitting side here with Eduardo Beltre of the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, I think Beltre is certainly becoming more of a household name. But I think there was this kind of narrative that he was like a hit-only, like DH type. And I didn't walk away with that impression at all. Actually, he played center field in the spring breakout game. It looked really, really good. Like, you look at the body and it's aesthetically, like you look at it and it's like small and kind of squatty. But he moved exceptionally well. He got really good reads in center field and really good jumps. And so when I looked at Eduardo Beltre, I thought yeah, this guy looks like a top 100 prospect to me, given the underlying data that he put up in the DSL last year as a really young hitter. And then he also came out and played really good defense. So I think Eduardo Beltre might be the real deal. And people I've talked to that have seen him more consistently on the backfields too were also like, yeah, Beltre is one of the more impressive players on the field kind of day over day. So I'm very much excited about Beltre at this point. I think that, again, I think top 100 prospect is certainly fair. Glove was good. It was a major contrast between Gabriel Gonzalez, who they had over in left field, who honestly probably shouldn't step in the field. DH, like that's how bad it was. But then on the flip side, you have, you know, Beltre, who looked exceptional without really getting much of the love that I think that he probably deserves from a like standpoint of his glove. Like it's just kind of like, oh, this guy's like can hit and he's got some pop, but not really sure what the glove does. I'm in very much so on, you know, Eduardo Beltre for sure.
Yeah, me too. I have him top 100 overall right now. Let me look here. I have him 85 right now, and I think every time I update my rankings, I move him a little bit higher. Yeah, I definitely love Beltre. I think he's going to be a really fun player here, and a guy that could be like a top 25 prospect, you know, by this time next season. Over on the pitching side, this is another guy that, you know, when I was going through my Atlanta prospects, he's a guy I definitely moved up a good bit after kind of really digging in, you know, to the profile and to video out there. And that's Didier Fuentes here. You mentioned earlier, but what were your thoughts on Fuentes overall?
Yeah, I mean, just electric. And that's kind of always been the case, but he's steadily improved. Like, he came up to single A so young, and that's kind of – well, I've always followed him so closely. I mean – he came up in 2023 and he was 17 still that season in 2023, which is wild. So I think he had turned 18 by the time he came up, but still, like, there were some impressive things where I saw him with Augusta and it's like, wow, like, yeah, this guy's something. And actually, yeah, he debuted back in 2023 with them in single A, missed a lot of time. But then last year, I mean, the pitch date on him was absolutely absurd. He threw just 75 innings, but the results were obviously good. He had 98 strikeouts, walked 21 with a 2.74 ERA. But that was just kind of thrown out the window for me because his pitch data was just off the charts. The fastball, one of the flattest vertical approach angles of any starting pitcher in the game, in the minors. That's obviously stands out. He creates good ride on it. Velocity, I mean, he threw three innings and the velocity stuck like in the mid to upper 90s, touched 99, was sitting 95, 96. He generated 11 whiffs, then he struck out seven over three scoreless. The only damage was like a hit by pitch on just like a poorly gripped slider, but though his breaking ball looked really good. And he's got a pretty nasty split change too that I don't think really gets the credit it deserves. He doesn't throw it enough either. He throws it through like 8% of the time last year. Like, I just really want him to throw that split changeup more because that gives him three really viable pitches. The fastball, slider, split change combo, all really, really good. And he's just a good athlete on the mound, a really good mover. He's still young. Like, he's 19 years old. I bet he goes to high A to start this year, just given how good that stuff is. And I don't think he really has anything to prove in single A anymore. So yeah, I'm very much interested in Didier Fuentes flying off the board. Yeah, I think I put out a tweet in January that I thought that he could be the Braves' best pitching prospect by the end of 2025. And spring breakout certainly helped confirm those thoughts. And yeah, I mean, it's everything that it was better than everything I've seen from him in the previous two seasons when I have seen him with Augusta. So I'm quite excited about the potential and the upside that he provides. You know, maybe there's some people think there may be some RP risk given the two pitches, but I really think that split change is very viable if he will just throw it more. So that's just the matter of it. Will he throw the split change enough for it to be a true kind of third pitch? And that's my hope. I'm kind of hanging my hat on that will happen, because if it does, then all of a sudden we're like talking about a potential like stud type arm. So very, very intrigued by him.
Man, just another good pitching prospect in that Atlanta system. There's so many of them. Not so much on the hitting side outside of Baldwin, but definitely when I was writing up that system, it was a good arm after good arm after good arm. And yeah, Fuentes is one. There's usually one with every system where I'm like, all right, I'm going to move this guy up, usually move him up, sometimes move him down. But it's always one that I adjust more than the rest. And he was the one that really stood out for me in that Atlanta system as well. So, yeah, I love those two picks there. Anybody else you wanted to hit on from spring breakout that stood out to you?
No, I think there's probably a lot. I mean, we could go a lot of different ways. Right. But, those are just a couple good ones, I think, that are worth highlighting for sure.
All right, then we'll cap it there. Just got to round up this episode of the Tool Shed. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back with you again next week. But until then, everyone take care.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.